Ciao a tutti, welcome to Angels of Creation podcast. I'm your host, Cristian Mastrodonato. In this podcast, I bring together my knowledge of complex systems with my experience in leading technology innovation and new product development to explore how successful products, organizations, and ideas emerge. And now for something completely different, as Monty Python would say, we're going to experiment with a different kind of episodes, a book on review. I've been toying with this idea for quite some time. In fact, there are some books that have really helped me shape new ideas and better frame and link old ones. Although it would be great to discuss those books with the authors, I'm not always able to get in contact with them and have them on the podcast. On the other hand, simply giving a simple review of the book would be redundant, as you can easily go to Amazon or Kobo and read it by yourself. But for me, reading a book is an experience, one that I try to convey every time I talk with an author and you can listen to us. And I believe it is valuable to discuss the content of these books and possibly convince you that they are worth your time to read. In fact, you should never be satisfied with what I'm going to say. Reading the books is always the best choice. We'll start with a book that I recently read, which has been truly eye-opening for me. The book is called How Big Things Get Done by Bent Flibbjerg and Dan Gardner. The subtitle of the book is The Surprising Factors Behind Every Successful Project from Home Renovations to Space Exploration. Interestingly enough, for me, these facts were not that surprising, as I have encountered most of them in the different projects I've worked on throughout my career. However, seeing them all presented in this clear and concise way brought a completely different perspective, which was indeed surprising. Furthermore, I'm excited to delve deeper into mega projects, which are a great example of applied complexity. I plan to have some future guests who can provide insights on this topic. And this book serves a perfect backdrop for those future conversations. Stay tuned to find out more, and if you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button now. Instead of discussing the core takeaways or sharing my impression about the book, I will start from the end, specifically the final chapter known as the coda. I want to focus on the 11 heuristics for better project leadership that are presented in this chapter and how they relate to concept of complexity thinking and effective management in a broader sense. I encourage you to read the book to fully understand how the authors developed this heuristic, as that is the true strength of the book. By discussing the end, I aim to provide you with some food for thought without spoiling any major detail, which sounds a bit counterintuitive, but in this case, it actually makes sense, trust me. So the first heuristic is called Hire a Master Builder. Now, that is an interesting one to me because I have never liked linking the success of a project to a single person. I despise personally the hero culture, and I believe that the true power lies within the team and its self-organization capabilities. While I understand the importance of having a leader with practical experience in similar projects and knowledge of potential challenges, the authors indirectly acknowledge that the key role of this leader is to assemble the right team. And this leads to the second heuristic, get your team right. In fact, he quotes Ed Catmull, co-founder of Pixar, who says, "Give a good idea to a mediocre team and they will screw it up. Give a mediocre idea to a great team and they will either fix it or come up with something better." Although I would have liked to hear something about self-organizing teams and T-shaped professional, I understand that as someone from a civil engineering background, which is naturally more traditional, he may lack language and culture to delve deeper into team organization. However, he more than makes up for it with the following rules. In fact, he presents another heuristic titled Ask Why. This means never losing sight of the final objective of your project. Although it might seem obvious, it is easy to get lost in the details of any project we're working on. Without a conscious effort to raise our heads and look at the horizon, it is very easy to lose the right path by solely focusing on taking one step at a time. There is a slight gap compared to a more modern digital organizational practices such as setting OKRs, objective and key results, for the ones who don't know, to drive consistency. However, OKRs are not widely adopted, and even when they are implemented, they don't necessarily lead to good results. But there is one heuristic titled Build with Lego, which to me is the core of the whole book. And in fact, it is explained at the end of the book, just before the coda chapter. What does it mean, really? The real keyword to me is modularity, which is probably less memorable than Lego, but more meaningful. There was a nice exponential view chart published in April about modularity, by the way. Hence, the secret is that successful projects are the ones based on modular, repeatable, and scalable components. So again, finding a connection with the digital world, scalability is the equivalent term. The core of a scalable architecture is breaking it up into smaller, repeatable chunks, in fact. Someone might say microservices, but they wouldn't be entirely correct. Well, clearly chunk isn't really correct either, but this is not the episode to have this conversation. So to me, to sum up, this was a moment of revelation. We can apply the scalability principle outside of the digital world by building solutions with modular components. And this is a critical success factor. The best example of this is in the energy sector. Solar photovoltaic power plants are getting exponentially cheaper and bigger year after year because they are based on thousands of small and cheap modular pieces. On the other hand, nuclear fission technology based on huge reactors, each costing billions, never managed to decrease its cost. Now, I know there is a debate about the actual cost trend over time for nuclear power plants, but even if you believe the most optimistic analysis showing a cost decrease over time, it clearly doesn't follow an exponential trend like solar power plants and, to be fair, also wind power plants. Furthermore, these projects show a much higher risk of critical overruns in time and or budget, demonstrating much higher uncertainty, the so-called fat tails, than modular projects. Interestingly, the second type of project with the highest uncertainties were IT projects, which apparently contradicts my previous point about scalability in digital products. But unfortunately, having microservices doesn't guarantee a scalable system. And I'll leave it there for today. Now, moving to the next heuristic, titled Think Slow, Act Fast, this concept emphasizes the importance of careful planning to identify and manage risks, followed by quick execution to minimize the risk time window. The longer project runs, the more potential there is for negative events to occur, such as a cyber attack, a change in leadership, or a global pandemic. Initially, this idea might seem contradictory to an agile mindset, which suggests addressing high-risk issues first in order to deliver successful projects. However, the author of the book addressed this misconception and even dedicated a specific session to discuss prototyping, lean startups, and MVPs as strategies for mitigating risks and learning early on. In the context of digital projects, with few exceptions, the risks involved are typically not life-threatening. Therefore, it is possible to create conditions that expose the project to meaningful risks while running experiments. Conversely, in the case of megaprojects, even the best-case scenario of encountering problems can result in significant financial cost, and in some cases, even loss of life. Another interesting heuristic is titled Take the Outside View. This heuristic incorporates elements of behavioral economics. Often, we tend to believe that our project is unique and has never been done before. However, the reality is that unless you're launching an optical telescope in a Lagrange point out in the space, it is likely that something similar has been done before. Therefore, it is important to do your homework, clearly define the reference class that your projects belong to, and benchmark against it. I wonder how often do people actually do this, though? Another one of the heuristics presented in the book, which is titled Watch Your Downside, shows a strong connection with the concept of ergodicity, as explained by Luca De Lanna in episode 4 of this podcast. The idea is to expose yourself to reversible risks as much as possible. Surprisingly, the book does not mention the words ergodic or ergodicity, even though Taleb refers to them several times when discussing the management of stream risks. However, even without explicitly mentioning it, this concept is crucial for the survival and success of your project. If your project does not survive, it will not reach its goal. Another simple but important practical rule, which is what heuristic means, by the way, sorry if I didn't say it earlier, but it was tired to say heuristic for so many times. Anyway, another but important practical rule is say no and walk away, which to me is the other side of the earlier ask why. If something isn't clearly linked to your goal, just skip it or kill it. Focus is the most important asset you have, and it is very easy to lose, especially these days of short attention spans. Here is one heuristic, there I go again, that introverted are going to like. Make friends and keep them friendly. Of course, I was joking, introverted. But if you don't do that, you're never going to succeed. We like to think we are the coolest kids in town and our projects are never going to have problems. But when the town gets hit by an asteroid, if you don't have friends among the important stakeholders, you're never going to get the help you need to fix the issues. Now, this rule is a bit odd. Build climate mitigation into your project. Even if I completely agree in principle, and actually extreme climate events are becoming more and more relevant risk factors in projects of any kind and size, it is presented a bit more like a greenwashing exercise in the book, and it felt a bit out of place and out of flow, to be honest. But last but not least, know that your biggest risk is you is the eternal reminder that your psychological and behavioral biases are more often than not what are going to make you collectively and as an individual fail. So keep them in check. By the way, if you have never read Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman, I think you should do it. Now, to sum up, overall, this book to me was a refreshing way to look at traditional project management. And when I say traditional, I mean waterfall-style project with physical infrastructure to be built. And provide a more systematic view of what works and what doesn't, grounded in on a big statistic of actual project numbers. The fact that most of these findings were already applied in digital projects, I found it actually surprising since I was under the wrong belief that digital is different. And in reality, projects are just projects and risks are just risks. To conclude, as I've seen so many projects and program managers trying to apply outdated and blatantly wrong rules to digital projects, simply putting an agile tag in front of whatever they were doing before, I'm sure even more in traditional projects, it will take at least another generation since this approach will become widespread. But still, in a very surprising way, it made me realize how the exponential nature of technology is taking over everything we do. Of course, if Professor Flipbeer happens to listen to this episode, I'd be happy to discuss further with him about the book, since I have a lot of questions for him. Last but not least would be, what are the characteristics of a leader embracing complexity? Thanks for tuning into this episode of Engines of Creation. I hope you enjoyed this analysis and comment of the last chapter of How Big Things Get Done, and I hope you're going to read this book afterwards. If you want to learn more, be sure to follow Engines of Creation and leave us a rating and a review. And don't hesitate to share this episode on social media and with friends and colleagues who might be interested. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, feel free to reach out to engines of creation@masterdonato.co. I'd be glad to continue the conversation. Engines of Creation will be back soon with another episode. Arrivederci.